each little hillock and crag in the desert, which all look the same to me. He can recall with precise detail almost every fossil he's ever collected at these sites, which is stunning because he has collected thousands, perhaps tens of thousands by now. Fossils are littered all over this landscape, constantly eroding out from the Paleogene rocks. Aside from a few bird bones here and there, these are not dinosaur fossils. They are the jaws and teeth and skeletons of the things that took over from the dinosaurs, the species that went on to start the next great dynasty of Earth history, the dynasty that includes many of the most familiar animals of the modern world, including us. Mammals. As you recall, mammals got their start alongside the dinosaurs, born into the violent unpredictability of Pangaea over 200 million years ago in the Triassic. But mammals and dinosaurs then went their separate ways. While dinosaurs bested their early crocodile competitors, sailed through the end Triassic extinction, and then grew to colossal sizes and spread throughout the land, mammals remained in the shadows. They became adept at surviving in anonymity, learning how to eat different foods, hide in burrows, and move around undetected, some even figuring out how to glide through the canopy, and others how to swim. All the while, they remained small. No mammal living with dinosaurs got bigger than a badger. They were bit players in the Mesozoic drama. In New Mexico, however, it is a different story. Those thousands of fossils that Tom can meticulously catalog in his mind belong to a staggering diversity of species. Some are tiny shrew-sized insectivores, not too different from the vermin that scurried under the feet of dinosaurs. Others are badger-sized burrowers, saber-toothed flesh-eaters, and even cow-sized plant guzzlers. They all lived during the early part of the Paleogene, within 500,000 years of the asteroid impact. Already, a mere 500,000 years after the most destructive day in the history of Earth, ecosystems had recovered. The temperature was neither nuclear winter cold nor greenhouse hot. Forests of conifers, ginkgos, and an ever-increasing diversity of flowering plants once again towered into the sky. Primitive cousins of ducks and loons loitered near the lakeside, while turtles paddled offshore, oblivious to the crocodiles lurking underneath. But the tyrannosaurs and sauropods and duckbills were no more, replaced by the sudden bounty of mammals that exploded in diversity when presented with an opportunity they had been craving for hundreds of millions of years, a wide-open playing field, free of dinosaurs. Among the mammals that Tom and his crews have discovered is a skeleton of a puppy-sized creature called Torahonia. It had gangly limbs and long fingers and toes, and probably would have looked, dare I say it, pretty cute and cuddly. It lived about 3 million years after the asteroid hit, but its graceful skeleton doesn't seem that out of place in the world we know today. You can almost envision it leaping through the trees, its skinny toes gripping the branches. Torahonia is one of the oldest primates, a fairly close cousin of ours. It is a stark reminder that we, you, me, all of us humans, had ancestors that were there on that terrible day, that saw the rock fall from the sky, that endured the heat and earthquakes and nuclear winter, that eked out passage across the Cretaceous-Paleogene boundary, and then, once on the other side, evolved into tree leapers like Torahonia. Another 60 million years or so of evolution would eventually turn these humble proto-primates into bipedal walking, philosophizing, book writing, or reading, fossil collecting apes. If the asteroid had never hit, if it had never ignited that chain reaction of extinction and evolution, the dinosaurs would probably still be here, and we would not. There is an even starker reminder, a greater lesson in the dinosaur extinction. What happened at the end of the Cretaceous tells us that even the most dominant animals can go extinct, And quite suddenly, dinosaurs had been around for over 150 million years when their time of reckoning came. They had endured hardships, evolved superpowers like fast metabolisms and enormous size, and vanquished their rivals so that they ruled an entire planet. Some invented wings so they could fly beyond the bounds of the land. Others literally shook the earth as they walked. There were probably many billions of dinosaurs spread all over the world, from the valleys of Hell Creek to the islands of Europe, that woke up on that day 66 million years ago, confident of their undisputed place at the pinnacle of nature. Then, literally in a split second, it ended. We humans now wear the crown that once belonged to the dinosaurs. We are confident of our place in nature, even as our actions are rapidly changing the planet around us. It leaves me uneasy, and one thought lingers in my mind as I walk through the harsh New Mexican desert, seeing the bones of dinosaurs give way so suddenly to the fossils of Torahonia and other mammals. If it happened to the dinosaurs, could it also happen to us? This is Patrick Lawler. We hope that you've enjoyed this production of The Rise and Fall of the Dinosaurs, A New History of a Lost World, by Steve Brusati. Produced by Elgin Productions. Executive producer Katie Ostroka. Text copyright 2018 by Steve Brusati. Production copyright 2018 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.